The American people, of course. They only know what they see on the news media, and you've got the media controlled very tightly. This is a security breach of the first magnitude, said Melillo, his face reddening slightly. Ignoring him, Stoner said to the president, Archbishop Overmyer has decided that nuclear weapons are unacceptable. The new morality is withdrawing its support of the effort.
I'll believe that when the Archbishop himself tells us, Melillo growled.
I've been working with the Iranians and the Chinese. Both are willing to drop their programs if the United States does the same.
And the Russians? The president asked.
They scrapped all their weapons 50 years ago, when all the other nations did.
And they're not building new ones? Melillo argued.
No, they're not, Stoner replied patiently. Then he added in a flat voice, Not yet.
How do you know all this? Melillo demanded.
Stoner looked into his dark, suspicious eyes, then said thinly, You can't hide from the kind of technology that I have at my fingertips.
Super technology, the president breathed. Alien technology.
Melillo grumbled,
The Ruskies would love to be the only people in the world with nuclear weapons.
They're unusable, Stoner said. Or rather, if you use them, you'll be killing yourselves and everyone else on Earth.
The nuclear winter scenario, the chief of staff scoffed. We've been through the numbers.
Suddenly, they were no longer in the Oval Office. The five of them hung suspended 100 meters above a blackened, airless, desolated land. As far as the horizon in all directions, nothing moved. The ground was bare, hard rock, broken by immense craters, scorched as if by the flames of hell.
What? Where are we? What have you done?
The president, Melillo, Yanovan, Angelique, and Stoner himself hovered above the barren terrain, floating as if in zero gravity. A bubble of energy encased them, holding air and warmth. This was once an Earth-like planet, green with flowering trees, brimming with life. Great cities lifted their spires to the sky. Billions of intelligent creatures existed here. Higher they rose. Angelique felt no sensation of motion, no hollowness in the pit of her stomach. She knew that Stoner was in control and there was nothing to fear. But the president and his two aides looked close to panic, their arms outstretched as if reaching for a safe handhold, their legs flailing futilely. The ground beneath them spread out, all of it blackened, lifeless. Still higher they ascended, and now Angelique could see the curve of the planet's horizon. Nothing lived anywhere on that world. It was as bleak and shattered as the moon. No, she corrected herself. Thousands of human beings live on the moon. This world is dead. Totally, utterly, completely dead.
What is this? The president whimpered.
This is the fourth planet of a G-type star, a little more than 50 light-years from Earth, Stoner explained. 1,000 years ago it would have looked almost exactly like Earth to you, although its inhabitants didn't look very much like bipedal descendants of apes, yet they were intelligent as you or I.
What happened to them?
Angelique asked, staring at the devastation spread below them, knowing, fearing what his answer would be. They were intelligent enough to invent nuclear weapons, Stoner answered grimly, and stupid enough to use them. Yanovan whispered,
Oh my God.
Chapter 14.
And abruptly they were back in the Oval Office. The president, still seated behind his desk, seemed to have the wind knocked out of him. He sat gasping, mouth open, eyes barely focusing. Angelique sat beside Stoner as before, but now she reached out for his hand. He took hers and squeezed it gently, reassuringly. Yanovan was still at the sofa by the fireplace, blinking with a combination of disbelief and barely contained panic. Melillo, though, was tougher. He strode to the side of the president's desk and practically snarled,
A trick! A cheap hypnotist's trick!
Stoner shook his head. No trick. I'll give your astronomers the coordinates of that star. They can confirm that there's an Earth-sized planet orbiting around it.
That doesn't mean... You've got to stop your nuclear weapons program, Stoner insisted. If you don't, Earth will end up like the planet we just saw.
Now look, Melillo said, still standing beside the president's desk. We know that the Iranians and the Chinese are both building nukes and missiles that can reach our cities. We've got to protect ourselves.
The course you're following now will lead to nuclear war, Stoner said. And nuclear war will destroy the human race. Sterilize this entire planet.
I don't believe it, Melillo said, shaking his head.
Now wait a minute, Oscar, said the president to his chief of staff.
Why do we need nukes if we've got him?
Melillo hesitated, then turned to Stoner with a cold smile.
That's right. The technology you've got is way beyond simple little nuclear bombs, isn't it?
Way beyond, Stoner agreed.
So tell us about it. Wait until my science guy gets here, said the president. He'll understand him better than we will.
Stoner said, I'll be happy to give you all the information you want after you've dismantled your bombs. Melillo pulled up a chair and sat facing Stoner.
You don't seem to understand, Mr. Starman. We've got you. You're surrounded by the best security systems in the world, and several battalions of highly trained troops can be here in minutes. You're in no position to bargain. You can't get out of here unless we...
But he was talking to empty air. Stoner had disappeared as suddenly as a light winking out. Tavallero woke slowly, languorously, feeling completely relaxed and happy for the first time since he'd left the habitat and gone back to Earth. He turned, twisting the bedsheets wrapped around him, and saw Holly smiling beside him.
It's true, he murmured. I'm not dreaming.
Holly's smile widened.
If this is a dream, we're both having it.
He pulled her naked body to his and kissed her gently.
I love you, Holly.
I love you, Raoul.
It's great to be back, he said.
Pulling himself up to a sitting position, Tavallero wrapped his arms around his upraised knees.
Earth's a madhouse, Holly. They're all nuts back there.
It's a zillion clicks away. Don't worry about it. They can't hurt us.
They're going to blow themselves to hell.
Let them. We don't need them.
He looked down at her. My mother's there.
We'll bring her out here. I'll put in the request direct to the U.S. State Department.
The new morality, Tavallero muttered. They run everything now.
She shrugged a bare shoulder.
So I'll talk to them.
We'd better move fast. Stoner says they're going to war. Nuclear war.
Stoner, said Holly. The Starman.
He's pretty weird.
I like him. He sent you here to me.
Just like that, Tavallero snapped his fingers. No ship, no time lag, just pop, and I'm here.
Holly sat up beside him, tucking the sheet demurely beneath her armpits.
Do you think you could get him to come here?
Stoner? I don't know. He does pretty much as he damn pleases.
He could help us.
Help us do what?
She shrugged again.
Whatever. With the technology he's got, he can change everything. Golly, if he can zip you from Earth to here in the blink of an eye, if he can let us communicate across the whole blinking solar system with no time lag, what else do you think he could do?
Tavallero thought about it for a silent moment.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I mean, he could help us build new habitats and expand our population and mine comets for water and whatever else we need to do.
Maybe.
Her fists clenching, Holly said,
all that technology. We could use it to make ourselves safe and rich.
Turning to Tavallero, Holly said,
I want that technology of his.
What in the hell? Melillo shouted.
He's gone, said the president. Angelique felt a thrill race along her veins.
You can't hold him, she said to the men. You can't coerce him.
You can't bully him into doing anything he doesn't want to do.
The president sagged back in his high-backed chocolate brown leather chair.
I guess we can't.
Maybe not, said Melillo, eyeing Angelique.
Or maybe we can.
How?
We've got her, he said to the president. Maybe we can pressure him through her.
Yanovan strode up from the fireplace across the room to within a few paces of the chief of staff.